Hey, yo, check this out. It's DJ Khaled. There's shows, and there's the Jalen and Jacoby show. Major key alert. Don't ever play yourself.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up, David Jacoby?
No. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Happy Friday, everybody. We have a lot of updates from the NBA bubble, but we start in the nation's capital where the Washington Post published an article where they discussed with 15 former employees of the Washington football team who described a workplace rot with sexual misconduct. Jalen, what happens next? What should the NFL do?
I'm disappointed in the league because we've heard rumblings about this with that franchise a couple of years ago, the incident with the cheerleaders. Now this, I haven't heard anything from two important people in this situation, Roger Goodell and Dan Snyder. Saw the letter that he put out. Wasn't distinct, wasn't strong, showed no passion, was really distant from the facts. So those are the entities I'm trying to figure where they stand in getting to the bottom of actually what these allegations are, to self-police them by hiring a firm, basically internal, is not actually doing that in an unbiased way. I hope the public, as well as the other owners, as well as the media, continue to challenge Washington to do so, so that we can actually figure out exactly what is taking place in that organization based on these allegations.
I think it's important to acknowledge that Dan Snyder himself was not named as one of the perpetrators in this published report, but some of the details were just extremely disturbing and frankly disgusting. Groping, encouraging female employees to dress a certain way and to flirt with people in order to get deals done, and nicknames, and just really, really felt like a really unhealthy work environment. And I think it's also indicative of sort of the old boys network or the way that things are done, and speaking just about women in a certain way. And I think that our country is just having a reckoning about the way that people are treated, and especially in the worst workplace. I mean, I think that this behavior is disgusting at a happy hour bar, but at a place of work in a professional environment, there's just absolutely no place for it. And I really think that there should be distinct and severe punishment in Washington, D.C. Jalen, what do you think?
I agree with you. And again, it starts with the power. The owner of the team is Dan Snyder. The commissioner of the NFL is Roger Goodell. Those two entities have to figure where they stand on situations like this, because this is really uncomfortable. The NBA dealt with this recently with Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavs. Let's see how they handle it.
Well, the NFL has a lot of other problems as well. And those were detailed by one of the star players. J.J. Watt is often criticized for what he puts on social media, but what he put on social media recently was really eye-opening. And he said, listen, in the interest of having everyone on the same page in terms of what we know and don't know at this time, here are a few things. And he went on to list things they know and don't know. And it's so sweeping and basic. What about testing? How often will we be tested? Will there be preseason games? And he also reminds us that this is just 48 hours away from rookies reporting to camp. And Jalen, another thing I want to show you as well is when you look at a map, right, of what the coronavirus is doing to this country, and you look at the NFL teams in certain areas, if you look at this is a 14-day average of daily cases per 100,000 people. And look at those teams at the southern part of our country. There are so many teams in hotbeds that I just don't see a way in which you can hold practices, hold meetings, and have as many people together in one place without spreading this virus. Just in how much jeopardy do you think the NFL season is?
Extreme jeopardy. I don't see a Super Bowl champion being crowned in normal fashion. And I'm not talking about what we're seeing in the NBA, because the difference is those players are in the bubble. The NFL players will not be. And so many times they're going to encounter with one another, 1,300 of them, coaching staff, trainers, the list goes on and on, their family and friends when they leave the game. So endless people that they're going to come in contact with, which means based on what you just showed, the opportunity for them to contract it and or it continues to spread. And it's going to be tough for them to get to a Super Bowl champion based on these dynamics. I don't see it happening. I just don't see it happening.
One thing I've learned is I've stopped predicting what's going to happen in the future when it comes to this virus because it is so unpredictable. Because, I mean, back in March, I thought the quarantine was going to last a couple of weeks. I like really thought that in my head. I thought the quarantine would last a couple of weeks and then life would be back to normal. But I'm looking at what's happening right now in the moment and looking at the facts, and I just do not see an NFL season happening. I hope we get NFL football. And if we get NFL football, it will be like no other season you've seen before, and there will be players testing positive every single week. Well, moving on to something that you discuss very often. Anytime there is a vacant head coaching job in the NBA, one name always comes up, and that is our colleague and your former teammate, Mark Jackson. Well, there are some rumors, and some rumors are that Mark Jackson might join us here in the tri-state area and head over across the river to Brooklyn to be the head coach of the Nets. What do you think about these rumors? Do you think it's a good fit?
I'm not Nasir Jones, but you're trying to put me in a New York state of mind. Both of those teams are potentially going to replace their head coaches. So I'll tell you who I believe should be the next replacement.
If I'm the Nets,
here's what I do. I get Tyronn Lue and I bring Sam Cassell. We walk into Doc Rivers' office. Been a great run. Hopefully the Clippers get a championship this year. But Doc, we going to the East Coast. Tyronn Lue has a previous relationship with Kyrie Irving that we know about and will garner the respect of Kevin Durant. Jason Kidd and or Mark Jackson should be in play for the Knicks job. Mark Jackson should be in play for both jobs as we hear rumblings that KD potentially wants to see him standing on the sideline. Those are the candidates if I was choosing and how it would play out.
So, Jalen, you're always very cheeky about this. Those are the candidates that I would choose. That's how it would play out. Do you know something? Have you spoken to people that have hinted that perhaps this is how it's going to play out?
It's not a done deal till it's a done deal. But each scenario is looking for two different things. If you're the New York Knicks, you need somebody on the sideline with experience of building something from the ground up and a credibility that's going to allow the patience for the other guys in the locker room, the fans, and the media to wait for it to happen. If you're the Nets, you need somebody that's going to garner the instant respect of Kyrie and KD. And that's why I feel like Mark Jackson could fit in both of those situations, and it'd be interesting to see how it plays out.
If I was the Brooklyn Nets, I would call Kyrie and KD on a three-way call, and I would say, who should I hire? Because I want them to be happy. The New York Nets organization is going to go as far as KD and Kyrie take it, so you want to make sure that they have buy-in on who the head coach is.
I'm just happy you called them New York Nets. You're such a die-easy fan.
the Brooklyn Nets, New Jersey Nets, New York Nets, Brooklyn Nets. I can't. And also, if you look at those four, great point guards. Lue, Cassell, Jackson, like Kidd, those are all great point guards. Moving on, Jalen, to the bubble. It has arrived. The beard is in the bubble. We've got footage of James Harden. We didn't really know where he was. He was a bit delayed in joining the team, but he is there in Orlando playing with the team, looking fit, getting buckets. The more and more I think about this, and I speak with you in particular, Jalen, the more and more I think the Rockets are a real threat to those two LA teams in the West. What do you think about the beard in the bubble?
We talked about that. The LA teams are going to be favorites, and rightfully so, in the Bucks in the East. But a couple of the squads to watch for in the West, Portland Trailblazers if they get in, and the Houston Rockets. They have two MVP guys. That's going to be playing small ball. PJ Tucker at the five with 93 pairs of shoes. He's ready to be there 3 months. And we talk so much about who can put the ball in the hoop. The gentleman you just showed, that lefty, is the actual version of a walking bucket. And nobody scored more points in the paint since January than Russell Westbrook when they opened up the floor by Trey and Clint Capella. So I agree with you, sir. They are a live team as it relates to upsetting the apple cart.
And Jalen, I have to correct you on something because we are very serious journalists. We want to make sure we get our facts correct. He has 91 pairs of sneakers in the bubble, not 93 pairs of sneakers in the bubble. Just want to make sure that we're very clear on how many pairs of sneakers PJ Tucker has. It is time for you and I to review some video, so we're going to the table. Jalen, often I'm overprepared for this program, but this video in particular, I made sure I did not watch because the production staff is so excited about this crossover, and you know I love pickup basketball, so let's take a look at this video together and go to the table. All right. Oh, inside out.
Inside out. Got to make the jumper.
Yeah, see, that's not a crossover. Nasty. That's not a crossover. That's an in-and-out dribble.
That's an in-and-out.
I've ever seen.
Ooh, with the left. Got his feet right.
When you build that particular type of concrete court is very slippery. Like there's a particular, that type, like that particular type of concrete court is particularly slippery. It's kind of like a running track almost. But that in and out.
That's why they call it putting somebody on skates. And look at big fella down low with his shirt off. Old school shirts and skins. He was about to go for the board. He's like, you got to make that.
One thing I want to point out is this.
Jacoby, we need to go
play that one more time. That one more time.
I want to send him a hoodie. Let's go play with them.
I respect the fact that he still wanted to contest the shot. So he not only did he fall down, but he got right back up to contest the shot. That's defense. That is defense. We will be right back. Make sure you stay tuned. You are watching Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. It is time for Jalen's favorite segment where he gets to decide what we discuss. It is called
Keep It Moving. Tang! Woo! Tang!
If you want to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, me and Method Man, keep it moving. We start with Ezekiel Elliott clapping back at some haters. Keep it moving, hit the brakes.
The brakes.
You got that stuff out of your eyes, Jalen. He went on Twitter and he felt disrespected and he wants everyone to put some respect on his name. Jalen, what do you think about Zeke going off on social media?
You play a lot of pickup basketball. That's why you're an expert. The awesome. Same reason why he plays football. And there's a game called King of the Court that acknowledges who's the best right now. And he may be better this year, but let's not act like last season, Christian McCaffrey wasn't that deal. Running the football, catching out of the backfield, long runs. He was the best back in the game last year. Let's just own it. We'll see what Saquon, we'll see what Ezekiel gonna do this year. And I'm excited, especially Dak, who didn't get the long-term deal that he wanted. It's gonna be enthusiastic to play with his new weapon, CD Lamb.
Well, Tom Brady has a bunch of new weapons, and we have an update on one of those. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
I love these stories. Every offseason, you get these stories about how much someone muscle put on. And now we have Ronald Jones bulked up to 225 pounds in the quarantine, and he claims his hands are going to be better, and he's ready to deliver for his new quarterback, Tom Brady. What do you think about him bulking
up? It matters in his case, Jacoby, because he had a carry share in the backfield last year because at his size, a lot of people don't believe that he can run between the tackles. And so if he wants to be a three down back, he's going to have to get bigger and stronger so he can pass protect. And those are the things that he's talking about. With Tom Brady back there, especially at 43 years old, pass protection is going to be paramount in his job. You don't want to be that guy that misses a block and get Tom Brady hurt.
Jalen, you just made a really good point because Tom Brady is not exactly an elusive quarterback, you know? And even he's slow, but he's also not like Big Ben. People don't fall off Tom Brady. Tom Brady goes down when he sees a defender in front of him, and pass protection is so important. Great point by you, Jalen Rose. Now, we have an update. Someone disagrees with what one of our guests said on the program.
Our guest.
Keep moving.
On our show? Hit the brakes.
Well, DeAndre Hopkins said that he was the best wide receiver in the NFL, and I agree. However, Michael Thomas is now a 99 in Madden. Jalen, the Madden team is famous for their rigorous research when it comes to these ratings. Do you think Michael Thomas is the best receiver in the NFL?
Freddie Gibbs said he's catching blessings like Michael Thomas. He's right there. He really is Michael Thomas. And I know he caught the most balls. And Julio's the just powerfully and physically gifted. But I think DeAndre Hopkins is the best combination of those two players.
Yes.
That's why I said it while he was on the show. And I'm looking for Odell to have a bounce back season.
It really is. And what DeAndre Hopkins was doing before Deshaun Watson joined the team, I think solidifies him as the best wide receiver in the game and deep threat and over the middle. And Michael Thomas isn't the deep threat that some of these other receivers are. Let's just say that. Moving on back to the bubble. Some bad news for the Boston Celtics. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes on this one.
Kemba Walker says he has some lingering knee issues, but he's not concerned. Jalen, if I were the Celtics or a Celtics fan, I would be concerned. What do you think about this statement?
I'm definitely concerned because a couple of weeks ago, outside of the bubble, on a blank canvas, I was like, if there's a team that could beat the Bucks and win the East, not in Milwaukee, it would be the Celtics. And, you know, I've seen a couple of reports that are disturbing injury-wise. One, Gordon Hayward seemed to be dealing with an injury still, and now Kemba Walker. And if either one, and definitely both of those guys are hobbled, that elevates other teams like the Philadelphia 76ers in particular.
It does feel like it was two decades ago, but if you remember when there was NBA basketball, not that long ago, Jason Tatum was having a star turn. Jason Tatum was on an absolute tear right before the season was suspended. And I'm looking for two things from him. One, he's going to keep that weird haircut. Two, he's going to continue that tear that he was on when the season
was suspended. His haircut now weird. He just got good hair. I wish I could grow mine
not a
like
big fan.
That.
Not a big fan. Not a big fan. If he goes 2 for 8 from the field, he's going to get that thing cut at halftime.
It's a nice little moving mushroom. On, I wish I could do that.
From some bad news for the Celtics to some bad news for the Bucks. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
We're going to keep it moving for now. Eric Bledsoe, get into the bubble and help your team.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Jalen, the dynamic duo of DJ Khaled and Drake have two new songs. Keep moving or
another
hit
one.
The brakes.
Hit the brakes.
They released two songs, Pop Star and Grease. And have you reviewed these yet?
I listened to them. I haven't studied them. It's Friday afternoon, Jacoby. When we get off work, have a couple of beverages, listen to the songs, study them, get into a mode, listen to the first one, and another one, and another one,
and another one. I'll be looking out for that, and you should also be looking out for ESPN Hype Hits. That is a new brand at ESPN where they'll be releasing music. Check that out, and check us out. We'll be right back. You got to give the people, give the people what they want. Thank you for tuning in to Jalen Jacoby on television every day at 4, but the experience does not stop there. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast where we always have exclusive content just for the pod that is too hot for TV. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Dwight Howard says that someone called the anonymous tip hotline and tattled on him for not wearing a mask. Do you think that actually happened?
I applaud that whistleblower. Absolutely. Wear a mask. Watch the news.
Just wear
you
a
understand
mask.
The rules? That's called a bubble.
I see it every day. I'm in the streets of New York and people are just walking around not wearing masks. Just wear a mask. However, I do think the tipster that called the hotline was not taking this serious and they were probably a teammate of his kind of just trying to get him in trouble. That, you know, that's really what happened. You know, that's really what happened. This was not someone concerned about their health. This was someone just trying to mess with Dwight Howard. Glad Dwight Howard's back. Moving on, Jalen. Meg Thee Stallion, we are both huge fans of hers. She was injured recently. She said she was shot in the foot. We want to wish her a speedy recovery.
Absolutely. We want to wish her a speedy recovery. As you mentioned, we're huge fans of hers. And when all of this ends up blowing over, we'll get her on the show to talk about it.
Let's do that. Jalen, this is a story that is very important to a lot of people. NASA has said that there is a 13th zodiac sign.
Here's really?
Right here. They said that when they created the constellations eons ago, they skipped a 13th zodiac sign. What do you think of this new information?
I'm an Aquarius. I don't know too much about zodiacs. What do you think?
Well, we have to bring in a character on the program. For this topic, we need Negative Jacoby. You know what I think? I think this is stupid. I think none of this matters. I think astrology is ridiculous. I think zodiac signs are ridiculous. I think that when you were born and what stars were where in the sky and the stars above us right now have absolutely no influence over what happens on this planet. Do you know how far away those stars are? Do you know how many years it would take to even get there? And you're trying to tell me like, oh, I'm moody today. Oh, it's probably because, you know, Mercury's in retrograde. That's why things are going wrong. I think that zodiac signs are so stupid. And anytime someone asks me what my zodiac sign is, I judge them a little bit. And even worse than that, if you think asking someone what their sign is some sort of attempt at picking somebody up, like that is flirtatious, it's not going to work. It is not going to work. I judge all people that are really into astrology. I'm just going to say it out loud. And I understand you're going to at me on Twitter. And I understand you're going to yell at me. You're going to tell me I'm wrong. But I know I'm not wrong because you're trying to tell me that stars in the sky are affecting how I behave on the earth. It's just not right. Glad I got that off my chest.
I'm rolling with you, my brother. And
for joining us.
When you get those palm readings and those astrologies, they are general.
Monday, some things are going to happen. Levitard, Highly Questionable is next. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is giving podcast exclusive content. Now, Jalen, we made a dedication that we would again.
Dedication.
Be incorporating voicemails into the show every day. You know what? Didn't do one yesterday. Didn't even do one yesterday. But in our defense, I had some tech problems. I had to do the show from my phone yesterday. I had Spectrum come in to up the internet today. So hopefully we won't have that happen again.
So rich.
But if you call.
Such a professional.
Oh, please. I'm going to make the company pay for this. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. And if you leave us a voicemail, Brianna is filtering the voicemails and picking the good ones.
Brianna, sure Brianna.
You make it worthy. You make it worthy of the show to get past Brianna. What do we have for us today, Brianna?
Brianna, Brianna.
J&J, what it do? This is a longtime listener and caller, your boy Preston, aka P from Houston. Grilling, Jay. I know Jalen. I know you. You love grilling, and I just want you to kind of take us behind the curtain with your grilling methods. You know, obviously, I'm assuming you use a gas grill rather than charcoal. I recently converted, and I will admit, gas is a superior way to grill. You know, I used to love charcoal. But Jalen, how do you do it, man? Do you put foil on the grill, cover up your grates? Do you, did you season your grill with oil and things like that with a paper towel before you first use it? How do you do it, man? Take us behind the curtain, bro. I appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for giving the people what they want.
Hold on a second. Before you answer the question, Jalen, did you have him call in and say that? Because I know that there is nothing that you would rather talk about than your grilling techniques. I think that you definitely, this is someone in your family. That was Troy. That was your nephew Troy. That's what it was. You texted him and be like, yo, can you call this number, 985-80-JALEN, and leave a voicemail and ask me how I grill? Now, Jalen, you can have the floor. Grill Master Jay, how do you grill?
Well, you get to live in a heartbeat of New York, but you don't get to grill outside. I do.
Kills me every day. Kills me every
day. And I know that makes you jealous. I know you do. I just heard the hate in your voice. I just heard you. Oh man. Is this somebody in your family? Oh, you want to talk about grilling? You know what you used to talk about when you was in LA? Your grilling.
Grilling. I love grilling.
You know that?
I miss grilling.
You used to talk about your grilling.
I might move just so I can grill.
You forgot how much you loved it. You used to always talk about your grilling. But now it's my turn. because I've been consistently grilling for 10 years. And thank you for the call. I think he said he represents Houston.
Mm-hmm.
H-Town, Houston. Stand Shout up. Preston. What'd you say?
I said, Preston is his name. P from Houston. So to tell Shout Preston. Preston. He wants to know. Houston. He wants to know what you do. He wants to know your
techniques. I got him.
Tricks.
I got him. I got
Take him.
Him
behind the curtain.
So a couple of things, Preston. Using charcoal is the equivalent of using a VHS tape. Never again. It's just not as effective. It's just not as efficient. Burns the food. The smoke sometimes. It's just not as effective as the gas grill. You know, if you ever seen a movie Beat Street where Ramos saw a new white Subway that he can paint on, he's like,
of course.
A white one. It was like I felt when the Huaraches came out of the box when I was in college. Like, whoa. That's how I felt when I just bought a grill 2 weeks ago. Big shout to Myron. Had the homie who got a cousin come put the grill together. Took him about 2-3 hours to do that, to make sure he had a couple of beverages, made sure he had some eggs. Whatever you need, dog, I got you. Just hook up the grill. Boom. You know, we tip on tip. He good. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we set up. Do I use foil? I do. Initially, in particular, because I wanted to babysit the grill. So put a pan with some foil on the side of the grill where you don't want things to fall through. So that's the side that you would make your seafood or your lobster or your fish. And then you have the grill side. So the seafood side, like 2 or 3 knobs, as I'll call them. And then the other 3 knobs is the grill side. Put a little foil down on that, put a little oil on that. Pop a cup. You know what I popped on there? You appreciate it. I popped a couple of sausages on there because it was still morning. I was like, you got to pop a couple of sausages. Patties. Pop a couple of patties on there. With the honey patties. No question. Pop about 10 of them on there.
Sausages? When you grill the sausages and some of the grease drips down into the fire and it flames up a little bit.
Talk to me. Why you do sausages. That's how you kick it off. I'm showing them how to kick it off. This is how you got to throw some sausages on their patties. I'm telling you. And I also had a little burner. Had a couple of fried eggs going. Flip them a couple of times. Got the sausages, got the eggs going. And then over here, the little burner side where I said seafood, but you know what you can pop on there? Pop some potatoes on there. Pop some potatoes on there. You know, potatoes are the most underrated food in the group. You know, you can cut them, slice them, dice them. You know, you can glaze, well done, twice baked, sweet potato, baked potato, mashed potato, hash brown. It don't stop for those. So, boom. Let those ride. So, before you know it, brother was there, mom's was there. I looked over to the left, Jacoby. Had the Four Seasons brunch going. I got some cherries. I had some watermelon. Some pineapple.
Hold on, time out. Let me just tell you something. So a lot of people that listen to this podcast are not super famous millionaires, so they might not know exactly what the Four Seasons brunch is. But I was lucky enough to go there one time in Los Angeles. The Four Seasons brunch is the most elaborate, luxurious buffet situation I have never, ever seen in my whole entire life. It's wild, the quality of the goods they have there. Like, we've all been to buffets, but we haven't been to buffets like this. Like, gourmet food and sushi and breakfast and dinners and roasts and chicken and everything you could possibly imagine is right there, and it's all at the highest quality. And I was there one time, and I don't like to like tell stories about celebrities that when I just like saw or whatever, but I'm sure this gentleman won't mind. So you got to imagine, everything is at your fingertips. Every single thing is available to you. Anything you can imagine. Al Pacino's like 2 tables away from me. And he's just like, let me get two fried eggs and some toast, please. I was like, you came all the way here, dog. Like, you came all the way to the Four Seasons where everything in the world is available to you. You just have to go get it. And you want, like, a diner breakfast. Shout out to Al Pacino.
And D was just talking in our ear about a gift card for him to go. Let me tell you something. When this pandemic ends, I would love to take the entire staff to a Four Seasons brunch. Okay, 1994, the La Montrose Hotel. Jalen Rose got introduced to California. And I was staying between there and the Four Seasons. I was walking to the Four Seasons brunch with a robe on and some slippers. Corns out, heels out, no lotion, everything. You couldn't tell me nothing. Going to UCLA runs. I just got my money, parking my car with rims in the front. You know I have valet. Leave my car right here. Do not pass go. Just leave it right here. So when Biggie walked by, he see it. You know what I'm saying? So here's how you kick off the grill. So I'm giving them a whole lifestyle of the cooking. So don't underestimate the appetizers I just gave you. Boom. Had some red cherries with seeds in them, some green grapes, some watermelons. Had some pineapple. Put them in bowls. Have them fresh. Have them looking good. Put them out on the table. Have some fresh juices, orange juices, pineapple juices, water, ice in it, all that. Boom. And then before you know it, I just whipped up the eggs. Got the sausage patties going. Got the potatoes going. You know what's missing? Chop up these onions. Chop up these onions. You drop them off in these potatoes and just let this thing sizzle. Let's just get a little sizzle going. Before you know it, I'm like Jeezy in the kitchen before he was rapping. I just got both wrists going. Lickety-flickety wrist. You know? Lickety-flickety wrist. And then boom. Four Seasons brunch is served. Ask brother. Kev, Gina, wife, moms, Troy, Tam, just everybody was just eating good. And I was like, y'all don't even understand what is happening right now. What they didn't understand was happening right now. I already had the jerk seasoning going with the full wings and the big Ziplocs. Shaking them up, shaking them up, shaking them up, shaking them. Boom. Drop those on there. Then it's on. Make sure the sides of the grill is burning a little faster than others. This is where you got to be a scientist. You know, it's real estate. There's different parts of it. It's burning faster. You got to flip them. You got to move them. You got to watch it. So that first hour, I'm just watching them, really, babysitting them, getting the grill right, getting the grill right. Questions. And so at that point, it's off and running. H-Town, let's get it.
I have some questions. There's a term in grilling. Yes, if you're looking, you're not cooking. Is the grill open when you're cooking?
My grill is open 99% of the time.
99% of the time. See, I close it when I want to watch it. I close it sometimes. And here's another question I have for you.
Can't be lazy.
Real grill masters, that's lazy, I do something. Man. I need to learn how to use direct and indirect heat. Like if you have like a thick like steak, you're supposed to kind of char it on direct heat and then kind of let it cook on indirect heat in like a where you like maybe don't turn one burner on or turn one on low and the other's on high. Do you have different sections of your grill at different temperatures?
Well, this is the point I was trying to make to you. I don't like to cook them on high anyway. Like as soon as I pop it on, once it gets up and running for 10 to 15 minutes, I'm idling down even all the way to medium. Like really? this is we ain't cooking nothing. We ain't burning nothing. Okay. And like I just told you, there are different parts of each of your grills, say it's three of them, that cook faster than other ones. So at my East Coast crib, my left burner is the second fastest cooker. The middle is the first, and the right is the slowest. So to your point, if I was making a steak and I wanted to grill something, char something, I know which ones are faster than the others. That's why I keep it open so I can watch it. And then you learn to grill. That's why when you go to somebody's house, two things you don't do. Stand in front of their grill or sit in their favorite chair. How many times have people came to your crib and you had to be like, I know you're comfortable right there and you're welcome, but that's my seat.
We got one of those couches. I think it's called a sectional or whatever, where it's like it's an L-shaped couch. You know what I mean?
Wherever and it is.
I'm 6'3 plus, and I want to stretch out my legs. I'm comfortable with my legs stretched out. Every time I watch TV, wife has got the legs stretched out. Always. And if I do sit there with my legs stretched out, she sits next to me and puts her legs on top of my legs. Every time. I never sit in my favorite spot in the living room. Never, ever. I never do.
Well, you get bullied for it. At least you get to use it when she's not there. Like Debo. Yeah.
Even then, it doesn't even feel right. It doesn't even feel right. Big shout to P in Houston for calling in. Make sure you call 985-80-JALEN to leave us voicemails. We're reincorporating those back into the show.
And also, I want to dedicate this podcast to Eric Garner. 6 years ago, not that he was the first person at the hands of law enforcement to be killed or murdered or lynched, but in the modern day, he was the one that was recorded saying, I can't breathe. And as we now see the video of George Floyd in Minneapolis also echoing, I can't breathe, while calling for his mom being murdered at the knee on his neck of a police officer for almost 9 minutes. I'll just say that Jacoby, in sports, for example, one of the main ways that I see that some progress is trying to be made plays out no further than Roger Goodell himself. Yeah, they still blackball Colin Kaepernick for a stance, but Roger Goodell knows that how they felt about that in 2016-17 and how they feel about it in 2020, even if you're going to upset some of your fans, it's probably best to err on the side of humanity. And I wish I could say the same thing in society, as there's so many names that come to my mind. And I wish I was naming all-time great players that I watched and performed, or entertainers that I celebrate and have gone to their movies, when I name Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor. And I just hope that this eclipse, as I'm going to call it, that's taking place with an uprising of oppressed people allowing their voices to be heard, that when we now have this conversation 4 years from now, we're keeping score like a game and trying to see the individuals, the corporations that actually did what they said that they were going to do. Rest in peace, Eric Garner. Black Lives Matter.
Well put, Jalen Rose. We'll be back on Monday. Why is that?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.